In the pew, if you don't have one, let's turn to John chapter 21. John chapter 21, beginning at verse 15. You'll find that on page 1554. John 21, beginning at verse 15. There's an outline of the message for you on Love Me More. John 21, beginning at verse 15. Jesus died on the cross, rose from the dead, and he went after Peter, who fell and failed him and denied him, not just once, but three times. And Peter goes and out fishing, and Jesus finds him there to restore him to go and feed his lambs. We're going to have a two-part series on John 21, 15 through 19 for this morning. One part, second part next Sunday, Lord willing, for the public professions of faith of the young people. But there's an outline there to follow along with me as we open God's Word together. Well, let's say our memory verse for the week from Isaiah 53 at verse 5. Isaiah 53 at verse 5. Let's say that together. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. Peter discovered the peace of Jesus Christ as Jesus showed up to restore him, to love him. If you're physically able, please stand with me at this time for the reading of the Word of God in John chapter 21, beginning at verse 15. This is the Word of the Lord. Let's receive it with believing hearts. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Feed my lambs." He said to him a second time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Truly, truly, I say to you, when you were young, you used to dress yourself and walk wherever you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and another will dress you and carry you where you do not want to go." This he said to show by what kind of death he was to glorify God. And after saying this, he said to him, "Follow me." You may be seated. So far, the reading of God's Word. I encourage you to keep your Bibles, if you have them available handy, for the message on Love Me More. Your congregation of Christ and friends of our church family, who do you say I love you to? Maybe it's your cat or your dog. Maybe it's your mom or your dad. Maybe it's your favorite sports team. Maybe it's the state of New York. I love New York. Who do you say I love you to? Jesus says, yeah, there's all kinds of levels of love, but this is the ultimate level of love. As I asked Tessa this morning, "Do you love me?" And she said, "I love you, Lord Jesus." And that's the question Jesus asks of all of us. It's a whole new level of love. It's not so much, you know, chocolates and flowers love. It's not so much screaming on the sidelines because you love your favorite team so much. It's really not so much the fact that you love a mom or a dad, although that's a great gift from God. It's this wholehearted love. God says, "Do you love me?" With all of your heart. So I preach to you, I share with you the word of the Lord as it comes to us, as Jesus Christ asked Peter, and he asks all of us really for our hearts. He's asking you for your love, and he asked me for my love. So just really simple, two simple points with some practical personal applications. It really doesn't get any personal than this. Do you love Jesus Christ? Do you love him more? Do you love me, first of all, Jesus asks, and then he says, one step further, do you love me more? Do you love me, Jesus asks Peter. And, you know, we can have the right beliefs, but we can easily have the wrong heart. We can easily have the wrong heart, even though we have all of the right beliefs. So Jesus Christ is getting at something as he's well on his way here to heaven, and he's well on his way to make the Apostle Peter into this powerful witness, powerful preacher for the gospel of Jesus Christ. But before that ever happens, he's got to stop by and he's got to restore Peter, because what happened to Peter? Peter relapsed. Peter was backsliding. He denied ever knowing Jesus on the night in which Jesus Christ was crucified. So this is the most important, this is an important step if Peter's ever going to get back, you know, into Acts chapter 2, where he's telling 3,000 people to repent of their sins and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. He's a broken man now. He's broken the law of love. And so he's falling apart. And so he needs to be restored by Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ finds Peter to restore him. And he asks the question, when they had finished breakfast, a heart-to-heart talk over breakfast, heart lovers breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, and I believe he's saying Simon for a very good reason. He's saying, Simon, I called you out of fishing to be a fisher of men. Luke chapter 5, all the way back to the beginning. Simon, Peter. Right? Peter means rock. Upon this rock of Peter's confession, I will build my church. Simon, Peter, son of John, do you love me more than these? Because, dear friends, it's not just about passing a Bible test. It's not just checking off answers in an answers box. It is that. Remember, Jesus Christ was the one who asked his disciples in Matthew chapter 16, who do you say that I am? Peter, by the Spirit of God, spoke up, and he spoke out. He said, Jesus, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Love must be based on that correct doctrine. Love must flow out of that right belief. But we can have all of the right beliefs without with a wrong heart. And Jesus Christ is getting at Peter's heart, and he's getting at your heart as well as mine. This was the problem in the church at Ephesus in Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2, Jesus sends a messenger, and he says, I have this against you, church of Ephesus. You're doing a lot of great things. You're for sound doctrine, but you have left your first love. Have you left your first love? You've been baptized. You've been professed faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You had the right beliefs, but now your love for Jesus Christ has been getting cold. And Jesus Christ calls us out. We can never have the burning love for Jesus Christ without that correct teaching of the Word of God, who Jesus Christ is and what He has done for us. But dear friends, it is dangerously very, very possible for you and for me to check off all the right boxes and to pass the so-called catechism and Bible test and let our love for Jesus Christ grow frigid and cold. Repent, Jesus says. Turn around, come back to me. Renew your vows. Do you love me? Jesus says. Simon Peter, do you love me? Do you love me more than these? There's lots of distractions in this world. There's lots of distractions and enemies out there that are trying to steal our love for the Lord Jesus Christ. And maybe you're here right now hiding behind your calendar. Jesus is asking a very pointed, very specific, very personal question of you and me. Saying, do you love me? And the way that works in our lives to avoid that question is we just get buried in busyness. Whether it's busy with our hobbies, our work, our family, entertainment, all good gifts from God, but we can easily hide behind our busyness and our crazy schedules to keep Jesus Christ and his very personal question away from us, because we don't want to face it. We don't want to answer it. And by that, we really are answering it. Lord Jesus, I don't love you. I mean, my time and my lifetime, what I'm spending my time in, certainly doesn't show it. Jesus Christ is asking us, don't hide behind your busy calendars. Do you love me? Then go and feed my lambs. Jesus knows that it's going to take men and women, boys and girls who are in love with him. Are you in love with Jesus Christ? So that's a little touchy-feely for me. Jesus is getting touchy-feely. He says, I want your heart, because if I have a man in love with me, I'm going to change the world. And he did. He did it through Paul and Peter and men and women, boys and girls ever since. Ever since. If you're in love with Jesus Christ, he's going to change the world around you. And he's going to use you and me to do it. But in the words of St. Augustine, who really recaptured a lot of what the Bible teaches about this love motivation, this love for the Lord Jesus Christ, Augustine was a man in love, and so was Peter. It made a difference in his life. St. Augustine said, you know what, have you ever said that? I just got carried away with myself. St. Augustine says this. He says, you know what carried your life away? It was love. I just got carried away. It was love carrying you there. And it could be love for Jesus, or it could be love for yourself, or because you love what other people do and say about you and to you, but at its base, right, motivation, it is love. Or this true love for Jesus Christ, or this false imitation. Watch out for what threatens your love for Jesus Christ. Are you carried away because you love Jesus? Peter was just carried away by the love of Jesus Christ for him. Because whatever captures your heart and mind directs your life. It's going to define your life, and it's going to direct your life. Where he goes. Peter's going to go and he's going to feed the lambs of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's going to go out and he's going to preach with boldness. He was ashamed of ever knowing Jesus on Good Friday, but on Pentecost Sunday, boy, what a difference it made. Peter was carried away by love for Jesus Christ. His feet were moving, his hands were moving, his mouth was moving for Jesus Christ. Boys and girls, how do you know it's light out? That's a simple question. How do you know it's light out? You can see it. You see the sun shining. It's light out. It's not dark anymore. Maybe you've been by a campfire this summer. How do you know that fire is hot? Well, the closer you get to that fire, it feels hot. You feel it. Boys and girls, how do you know? You've heard your mom saying it's time for dinner. You hear her voice. Very simple. Boys and girls, Jesus asks you, do you love me? When you love Jesus, boys and girls, when we all love Jesus, in the words of J.C. Ryle, everyone will see it, including you. You'll feel it. Others will too. So none of this stuff, you know, if I don't see it, no one else sees it. If I don't feel it, no one else feels it. No one hears it. And no one, I'm not hearing it. You don't love Jesus. And I don't either. You love Jesus Christ, everything's right. You don't love Jesus Christ, we don't say it, we're not showing it. We don't feel it inside. No one feels it in us. Not perfectly, but faithfully. Everything's wrong. Do you love the Lord Jesus Christ? He wants your heart. In the words of John Calvin, here is my heart, Lord, promptly and sincerely. Love me. Do you love me? Then Then he asks the question, he gets a little further, getting deeper and deeper into real life change, do you love me more? Do you love me more? Peter's big problem was pride, and that's why Jesus, I believe, is saying to Simon, son of John, you catch that, do you love me more than these, more than the other disciples around you? Peter's big problem was pride. Remember how Peter said to Jesus, has the Lord really said? Did God really say? Look at the temptation to Adam and Eve. Did God really say? Satan tempts Adam and Eve. Did God really say? And now Jesus, God himself, is saying to Peter, Peter, you're going to fall away just like all the other disciples. And Peter is adamant, right? He's jumping. It's like he's waving his hands. No way. If everybody else, those guys, they're going to split. They might split, but I am the rock. I'm not going anywhere, Jesus. I'm not backing out on you. You can rely on me. I'm not a quitter. I'm not going to quit on you, Jesus. He's kind of comparing himself with the other disciples. He's kind of looking down on them. Peter had a big problem with pride. Do you have a problem with pride? Yes, you do. So do I. We're sinners, just like Peter. We think too much of ourselves and too little of Jesus, and that's why we end up denying him. That's why we end up being ashamed of him when we should speak up for him. Do you love me more than these? What does pride do in your life and mine? Pride, think of pride in your life and mine, dear friends, and you have to get this. I think this is a very, very important key that opens up this text in your life and mine. What was it that made Peter say to say in front of a little girl who was saying, hey, you're one of those Jesus followers? And he said, no way, three times. Why did he do that? Because he was in love with himself instead of in love with Jesus Christ. It was pride and it was fear. And that's why Jesus is saying, I want your heart. Because if I have all of your heart, you're not going to be as proud and you're not going to be as fearful anymore. It's love for ourselves or love of what other people think. That's what makes us proud and fearful so that we end up denying, whether in word or indeed walk or talk, that Jesus Christ is our Savior and Lord. Think of pride this way. Pride in our life that gives us a big head. I don't need Jesus. I don't need your help. I can do this on my own. Think of pride like binoculars. You look through binoculars and you look at others from a distance, right? From a distance, those people over there, and that's what Peter is doing. He got his binoculars on. He was looking at his fellow disciples from a distance, and you know their faults, their problems look a lot bigger. And then he turned the binoculars around, looking at himself. So his big problem, pride, looked very, very small. Jesus shows up to Peter. He said, Peter, do you love me more than these? He said to him, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. What is Jesus doing in Peter's life? What is he doing in my life and yours? He's humbling our pride because humility is always where all true learning begins. Humility is always where all true learning, the Christian life, learning the Christian life, how to walk and talk for Jesus Christ ultimately begins. Think of humility this way. You know, we can kind of, have you ever seen this? Like, if someone quits smoking, they tend to look down on others who are still smoking. Or if you've, I'm following this diet, I'm working out, and, you know, I'm fit and trim, and now we look down on others who are maybe not quite as healthy looking as we are. Dear friends, we got to look out for this. C.S. Lewis has this great quote. C.S. Lewis says, don't judge a man, don't judge a woman, don't judge a person where they are because you don't know how far they have come. Don't judge a person by where they are right now in their Christian walk, because you do not know how far that person has come along in their Christian walk. All humility is where all true learning begins. You're never more like Jesus than when you humbly serve others. Neither am I. Do you love me? Peter says, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, then go and feed my lambs. As Jesus Christ has come, if Jesus Christ can forgive the love failures of Peter, he certainly can and does and always will, believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, forgive fully, completely all of your past, present, future love failures. And why are we love failures? Because I got a big head and a small heart for Jesus. Because I'm afraid, and you are too, of loving Jesus Christ out loud. If Jesus Christ can, and he did, restore Peter, brought him back after relapsing, and Tessa, you will relapse. I have. Many times. We all have. Humbly go back to the beginning, and in the words of Martin Luther, let's get lost. Let's get lost at the feet of Jesus Christ. The Christian life begins over and over and over again. Humbly saying, Lord Jesus, I love you. And that love comes out when you are serving others, and that's what the assignment he gives to Peter. Go and feed my lambs. And he's going to say that again and again here. Go and serve others. Go and serve, because that's how we prove our love for the Lord Jesus Christ. Have you made that connection? Are you making that connection between my love for Jesus, your love for Jesus, and love for what he loves? He loves his church. He loves his body and bride. Well, that love for Jesus comes out of our lives when we are busy loving and serving humbly. It's not fun. Sometimes it is. Today is fun. It's fun when adults are saying, I love you, Lord Jesus, and are baptized. This is great. Sometimes it's not so fun. Sometimes it's not out there in the open where people see us doing great things and they praise us. Attaboy, way to go. Great, you're serving the Lord. It's not always that way. Go and feed my lambs. And that really gets us into the application part of the text. Get in. What is the first application? Get in on Jesus Christ's invitation. Get in on the mission of the Lord Jesus Christ. Get in on this. What is your answer to Jesus Christ's question? How will you reply? Jesus is asking you. Don't put it off anymore. Don't hide behind your busyness. Don't hide behind. Why do you do that? Why do I do that? It's pride. And it's fear. It's pride to say, I'm good enough without Jesus Christ. I don't need the goodness of Jesus Christ to get to heaven. I got my own goodness. Or it's the pride or the fear, I am so far away right now. I'm a million miles away from Jesus. It's way too far to go back to Jesus, to come to Jesus and say, Lord Jesus, I love you because you first loved me. My dear friends, all you have to do right now is turn around. Just before this moment happens in Peter's life, what is happening? Jesus goes to the sea, and the disciples are out there on the sea. They're catching fish. And John says, it's the Lord. Jesus is risen. The risen Jesus meets Peter and the disciples. And Peter does what? He turns around, and then he swims and goes after Jesus Christ. Jesus is not far away from you right now. This is repentance. It's turning around with Peter, and there's Jesus. Turning our back on our pride and our fear. Don't be too proud. Don't humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God and go to Jesus Christ and tell him, Lord Jesus, forgive me for all of my love failures. Forgive my pride. Forgive me for being too afraid. And he will forgive you. He'll forgive it all. And then he'll restore you. And he will send you on his assignment. Dear people of God, brothers and sisters, this is how we change. How do people change out of their bad habits? And I have many of them. Just ask Michelle after church. She can tell you, it's hard to change. It's hard to change our habits. Our spouses know this. Our kids know this, right? They see how hard it is for us and life change to happen in our lives. I'm going to tell you how change begins to happen in your life and mine. That's how it happened in Peter's life. It's when we know we are loved by Jesus Christ unconditionally. And when we know we are loved by Jesus Christ unconditionally, then we will begin loving Jesus unconditionally. And that's how change happens. It's slow, but it's certain. It will change you. You'll start praying to Jesus for help. Lord Jesus, help me. Give me wisdom. You'll start being patient with others, a little more patient with your spouse or your kids. You'll start saying no to letting any other loves other than the love of Jesus Christ carry you away. Carry you away from this love letter of Jesus. Get in on the invitation and the mission of Jesus Christ right now. And how does your love for Jesus grow? It's nothing new. It's here in the book. Begin today reading in the Gospel of John, John chapter 1 through 21 for the next 21 days, and ask Jesus to show you his love for you. And then humble yourself, and Jesus will lift you up. That's what gives stability to our lives, humility. Replacing our pride, I know I can do this on my own, Jesus, and then we fall, and then we fail, and we humble ourselves. That's what Peter says in his letter, 1 Peter chapter 5 at verse 6. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of Jesus, and he will lift you up. This gives stability to your life. Have you seen this in your life, how you are so unstable? There's so much instability in your life. You're over here, you're over there, you don't know what to believe, you don't know what to do. You keep falling and failing in the Christian life, and the love of Jesus gives stability to your life because it's the only stable thing in the world. And what I mean by that, dear friends, is you run into difficult people, as you run into difficult problems, and we all do. Feed our my lambs. It's coming in a second. You have to make a choice, and we need to choose. Tessa chose. She made the choice. She chooses. I love you, Jesus. But for the rest of our lives and all of these difficulties, how do you find stability? You find it when you choose. And I make the choice at that moment. I love you, Lord Jesus. I know you're mine. That's what stabilizes our lives in an unstable world. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. What does that look like? I'm sorry. Oh, that's what it sounds like. Excuse me. I'm sorry. Would you please forgive me? I was wrong. I should have listened to you. And then help others in ways that aren't fun. We have opportunities to teach Jesus' little lambs in Sunday school and education programs. Go and teach. Peter was go to teach and to lead and to love on and care for the lambs of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ is sending you. Tessa says, I'm sending you because you realize how much you have to share. And he says that to Tessa and he says that to us because I poured out my love in your life and in your lives. You realize how much you have to give to others here in this church and out in this community. Jesus Christ, the great shepherd, has come to lay down his life in love, to purchase our pardon, to rise from the dead, to guarantee that forgiveness. So you know exactly right, from your own life experience, and so do I, why temptations of pride and fear are so attractive. And now you can go tell others. And how guilt and shame has weighed you down. So that's just depressing. I don't want to see anyone. I don't want to go feed anybody. I don't want to go take care of anybody else. I can't even take care of myself right now. Jesus says, I want you to go. I fed you. Now you go and feed my lambs. You have a story to tell. I love you. I pour my love into your life for you to pour out my love into the lives of others and your friends as you go and you teach and you disciple. You evangelize along with me in the lives of the lambs of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. They will see in one small way how Jesus loves them because he loves you. Jesus. He's still got the blood wounds on him. After dying on a bloody cross for Peter and for us, dear friends, to forgive us fully and freely, after rising from the dead in great victory to give us new life, to love him back. Before he goes to heaven, he stops. He says, Simon Peter, turn around. And he asks Peter, do you love me? And thanks be to God, before Jesus Christ has come back from heaven to earth, he's asked Tessa, do you love me? And Tessa said, I love you, Lord Jesus. And now there's still time. As Jesus asks you, do you love me? Now it's your turn. Amen. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for dying on that bloody cross, for rising victoriously from the dead, and that before you went to heaven, you stopped and you asked Peter, do you love me? We thank you so much that Peter said, I love you, Lord. We thank you that before you've come back, you asked us. You asked Tessa, do you love me? And she says, yes, Lord, I love you. And Lord Jesus, we do love you. If ever we loved you, it's now. May we turn around, turn our back on our pride and our fear, and find that you're right here, eager, willing, ready to forgive us. Lord Jesus, we thank you for putting your love in our heart to say we love you. May we get in on this invitation now and on the mission of Jesus and go and humbly serve. Lord, there's so much pride in our lives. Please replace that pride with humility. Please, may your love drive out all of our fears so that we can truly change. There's a lot of bad habits in our lives, Lord. We keep relapsing. Please, keep loving us. Pour out your love into our hearts and lives so that we may pour out our lives in love for your lambs and go and teach others and show in some small way the love of Jesus for us. Use us, we pray. Answer us. In the name of Jesus, amen.